text is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 15th chapter. I'll read the first verse now, and the last two verses will be a part of our blessing at the end of the address. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And now, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear Christian friends who are living in hope, today, December 7th, is a day of infamy. But as our text reminds us, it's also a day of wonderful hope. You see, we live in two worlds, two kingdoms. The kingdom of this old sin-drenched world with all of its problems and sins. And we live also in God's kingdom of grace, whose operative word for us is hope. A day of infamy, yes. 75 years ago today, some 350 Japanese bombers in two waves came over Pearl Harbor and bombed, and some 2,400 were killed. Major battleships were either sunk or damaged severely. One of them, the USS Arizona, many people went down to their deaths. A day of infamy, said President Roosevelt at the time. And it is. To this very day, we're remembering it 75 years later. Every day, in a sense, is a day of infamy in this world, including today. We're attacked by our sins, by our guilt, by our doubts, by our sorrows, and by all the discouragements of this world. But that's not the last word on December 7th. This day and every day for us Christians is a day of hope because we live in God's kingdom of grace, where the operative word, once again, is hope. We live in peace in our hearts through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his perfect life for us, his resurrection from the dead, a day of constant hope. That word hope, as we use it in everyday language, is kind of a wishy word, isn't it? Or a wishy-washy word, even. I hope this winter will never get below 40 degrees. And the wind will always be no more than 5 miles an hour. And then we experience something else. The hope of this world often disappoints. When the Bible uses the word hope, it means sure expectation because of something based on real historical facts, namely the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus and Jesus sitting at the right hand of God to give us hope. How do we get this hope? How do we grow in this hope so that we're not discouraged day after day and call every day a day of infamy? Our text says it comes through Scripture. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, written before. He's talking about the Old Testament. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans, and as he writes, the Scriptures were the Old Testament Scriptures. I've been spending 25 years of my life teaching the Old Testament Scriptures. And a logical question is, why study the Old Testament when you got the New Testament at the same time? Well, we study both. We have two wonderful warehouses of God's grace and hope, and we are delivered from those warehouses in the vehicle of Scripture as it is read by you personally, as it is preached, as it is meditated on. But let's use one example from the Old Testament of hope, because Paul was talking about the Old Testament. Think about the man Abraham and how he lived in hope, sure expectation of something better than the everyday life. You know, hope has to have an object, right? You can't just have hope. You have hope in something. What is the Christian hope? An eternal inheritance in heaven. Before that, the return of our Savior, so that he will take us to the mansions that he is preparing for us. In yesterday's devotion, the object of hope was the crown of life. So Abraham, too, was looking for something greater as he lived through this hopeless world. Now, he traveled all around. He lived in southern Mesopotamia to begin with. That's Iraq. Went up to Haran, which is in modern-day Turkey, and down into the Promised Land and into Egypt. And the Bible says that he didn't own one square foot of land. Now, one square foot. And yet God promised him a land. He never got it. He never got the earthly land promised to his seed. But he got the permanent heavenly land, as the book of Hebrews says. Abraham was looking for something much better. He was looking for a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And that is the hope that Abraham realized. That's our hope also, our sure expectation. Christ will come again. We just prayed in the hymn, O come, Emmanuel. And he will. And the heavenly mansions are waiting for us. But meanwhile, we live in this world of infamy. And yet God is working all things for good to those who love him. I'm going to use one personal example for my family to show God's wonderful way of working through tragedy and delivering. My grandmother's name on my father's side was Guro, and she was a young girl living in Norway. Her mother had died, and so she was living with friends and relatives in Kristiansund, Norway. Meanwhile, her father and brothers had gone to the United States to get established, and then Guro would come to the States. And finally, word came from her father, I'm sending in separate envelope your ticket for the boat, and you'll be able to join us in the USA. Well, the ticket was mailed, and it ended up in England, and a fire destroyed all of the mail, and she never got the ticket. And meanwhile, she was to have traveled on the same boat with her dear friend, a girl that she was confirmed with. And the girls were rejoicing when they heard that we're going to be on the same boat. But now Guro never got her ticket. It burned up. And so she stands on the pier in Kristiansund with tears in her eyes, waving to her dear friend, and the ship takes off. That ship hit a rock outside of Newfoundland and sunk to the bottom. Nobody was saved. Would I be here today if Grandma had gotten on that boat? I'm looking out at a whole lot of people here who come from her same line also. Would you be here today? I don't know, but God chose to operate in that way. I'll let God decide whether we would have been born. But he saw to it that we were born. Grandma lived. She went on another boat, and she sailed to the United States, married grandfather, and so on down the line. And here some of you are great, 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 maybe even grandchildren of her. We don't understand the ways of God. Her dear friend was lost, but she has a heavenly home. And here we are. God wanted us to be born in this world and to live in hope so that eventually we would enjoy the heavenly kingdom also. So days of infamy we live through? Yes, we do, but days of hope. We said that we would use our last two verses as our blessing, and I will read them now for that. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.